As Gaudiya Vaishnavas know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the avatari, source of all avatars, has also in his disciplic succession presented the essence of all teachings of all other Vaishnav sampradayas. Although technically, because Shastra states that sampradaya vihina sti, that one must belong to one of the four authorized sampradayas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers identify themselves with the Madhava sampradaya, but still the complete teachings of transcendence are manifest in the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are known technically as Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Why isn't the Gaudiya Sampradaya presented as a fifth Sampradaya in Shastra? Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like his teachings, his parampara is also chana, or covered. It's very, very confidential. And therefore, as it's stated, that in the same way that Jamuna Devi flows in the water of the Ganges, and yet still we, when referring to the Ganges, we simply call her as Ganga Devi. In the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lineage flows in the Madhava Sampradaya, and therefore to outsiders, to smartas, to those who are not blessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we call our lineage the Gaudiya Madhava Sampradaya. The essential elements of Lord Chaitanya's teachings are present within the other Guru Paramparas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has revealed what prominent elements of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are manifest within the other four Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, and so on. In the Brahma Sampradaya, two essential elements are emphasized. That is, accepting the deity of the Lord as the eternal supreme personality of Godhead. And the other is Madhvacharya's great spirit for defeating Mayavad philosophy. Certainly this is seen in our Pranam Mantra to Srila Prabhupada. In the Sri Sampradaya, Ramanuj Sampradaya, the concept of pure devotional service, which means devotion unpolluted by karma and gyan, is very prominent, and service to Vaishnavas. In the teachings of Sri Vishnu Swami, Lord Shiva's Sampradaya, sentiment of exclusive dependence on Krishna and the path of spontaneous devotional service, Raga Bhakti, is prominent. And in the path of Nimbarkacharya, which is coming from the Kumaras, then the necessity of taking shelter of Srimati Radharani and the exclusive and supreme nature of Gopi's love for Krishna are prominent. Today I'm going to read from Ramanujacharya's instructions in his Prapanamrita. I quoted one of these verses earlier, and this is emphasizing one of his great teachings, and that is the exalted position of Vaishnavas and the importance of service to them. I think these teachings are really wonderful verses to bind in our heart, to guide our progress in devotional service, and I'll make a few comments on them as we go along. I request Vaishnavas to try to hear and understand and remember these teachings of Ramanujacharya, who is none other than Lord Balaram himself. By the way, these verses come from a book by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur entitled The Life and Teachings of the Four Acharyas. So here he starts. Svadeshikasya kankarye vaishnavasya cha pratipatim saman kritva kinkaryam karyat sada purva acharyakta vakshesu vishvashaneva vartayat. Always serve your spiritual master and other Vaishnavas by treating them with equal respect. Have full faith in the words of the previous acharyas. Devotees may ask, well, how am I supposed to be serving other Vaishnavas with equal respect as my own spiritual master? Isn't the spiritual master meant to be given special respect? Here we should see what Ramanujacharya is emphasizing, which is the oneness of showing respect to all Vaishnavas. There is also a difference. But what is that oneness? The oneness is that all Vaishnavas are considered to be representatives of Krishna, and therefore Shikshadhari, we should offer them respect as such. We should not think my spiritual master is a Vaishnav and other people, even though they are addressed as such, I neglect them. No. We should see that there is a common level of respect due to all Vaishnav devotees of the Lord. And then naturally, at the right time, at the right place, as prescribed by scripture, as is our regulation, I may offer some special respect to my spiritual master, but I'm not offering him special respect because I offer no respect to others, and what to speak of showing respect to the previous acharyas. Vaishnavas in general, the spiritual master, previous acharyas, these three should be worshipped. Then the next verse, do not spend your days and nights serving your senses except for spiritual literatures. All other literatures are of no value. How many times have we heard that same teaching from Srila Prabhupada, Vaishnava Shastra, either Shruti or Smriti or Puranas? These are what should be read and heard. Other popular books and so on are not necessary. If we want to know something, then we can search through Vaishnava literature to find some particular subject. Everything else is of no value. Why no value? Because it's all relative knowledge and does not lead to the ultimate goal of life. Then the verse, beautiful verse, which I quoted previously, whatever love and devotion you have for chanting the holy names of the Supreme Lord, may you now have the same love and devotion for glorifying the names of his devotees. When we speak about Vaishnavas, we should speak about them with love and devotion. In the same way that we call upon Krishna's holy names, we should call upon the names of Vaishnavas. In the way that we revere the holy name, that's how we should also revere the names of Vaishnavas. And, as will be clear in a subsequent verse, and we should not do this as a means, oh, because that way Krishna will be pleased. No, we should do this as the end. Yes, is the chanting of devotees' names the end of devotional service? Yes. Dasa, dasa, anudas. The end of devotional service is service to Vaishnavas. Then he says, taking shelter of the lotus feet of a Mahabhagavat is the only means by which one can obtain the Supreme Lord. Knowing this fact, you should follow his orders with firm determination. Scriptures state that one should accept a Mahabhagavat as a spiritual master. In fact, I think for the most part, devotees will find that there are no scriptural injunctions that allows one to take shelter of a Kanishtha Adhikari or a Madhyam Adhikari. Always Uttam Adhikari is recommended. This adjustment to accept other class of devotees other than the Mahabhagavat is made by Srila Prabhupada and perhaps the Acharyas in the fulfillment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching mission to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But here the ideal is being recommended, find a Mahabhagavata and take shelter of him. As a wise person is ruined because of his attachment for material enjoyment, by giving up the service to Lord Vishnu and the Vaishnavas, every human being is ruined. Srila Prabhupada would use this very nice phrase of equal faith in Guru and Krishna. So here in this verse, Ramanujacharya also states, yes, you should have faith and love in the service of Vaishnavas and the spiritual master. If you give one up, if you give up Guru and Vaishnavas simply to serve Krishna, you're an upstart. If you give up the service of Vaishnavas simply to serve Krishna, then, or perhaps that's what I said. Anyway, if you give up Vaishnavas to serve Krishna, or if you give up Krishna to serve Vaishnavas, it's only half of a formula, and in perfection, half formulas are like no formulas. You need to take the full formula, which is equal faith in Vaishnavas and Krishna. Do not consider service to the Vaishnavas as a means. This is very beautiful. But rather always consider it the goal. To think that by serving Vaishnavas one can achieve other fruits is to consider Vaishnava Seva as a means, and to think that due to heaps of pious activities one's obtained Vaishnava Seva is to consider it the goal. In other words, we shouldn't think that, yes, by serving Vaishnavas, Krishna will be pleased, and ultimately I'll get Krishna's blessing, and I'll get Krishna's association, that the service of Vaishnavas is the means by which I come to Krishna. No. Vaishnavas and Krishna are inseparable. And as mentioned earlier, we should always consider that our goal is to become the servant of the Vaishnavas. Never hanker after luxurious items such as flowers, sandalwood paste, and betel nuts. You should accept only those things that have been offered to the Lord. Do not be astonished while hearing the glorification of the demigods. Do not feel happy while seeing the devotees engaged in glorifying the holy names of Lord Vishnu and the Vaishnavas is certainly an offense. Jiva Goswami quotes something quite similar, or makes a similar statement, that if one sees a Vaishnava and his heart is not engladdened, then that is an offense. Here, nama sankirtana anicca, what to speak of just seeing a Vaishnava, especially when those Vaishnavas are chanting Hare Krishna, then we should consider how wonderful this is. The birth, sleep, and idleness of Vaishnavas are not to be disclosed. After seeing such things, do not talk about them to anyone. In other words, sometimes we may say, oh, such and such person is sleeping or not, or, well, I saw him hanging around, not really doing anything, or that he was born in a low-class family. If you see such things, know such things, don't talk about them. Why? If the devotee is himself still subject to the modes of material nature, then you should not delight in pointing out their faults. It's a subject which is not for discussion. Keep it to yourself, and best even to forget about it. Those devotees whose perhaps business, such as spiritual master, senior Vaishnavas, to correct someone's behavior, let them deal with such things. And if the devotee is not a conditioned soul, but a liberated soul, then you may mistake transcendental behavior for mundane behavior. And in either case, no devotee should be identified with his apparent birth. Next, if a Vaishnava approaches you and offers obeisances, saying, I am your servant, and do not disregard him. If you do so, you will commit a grave offense. In other words, if you are a senior Vaishnava, offer your blessings, offer pranams. If you are a peer or a junior, then immediately offer obeisances to such Vaishnava. And now even Ramanujacharya says, do not consider me as being equal to the Vaishnavas. If you accidentally come in contact with materialistic people, you should immediately bathe with your clothes on and then drink some water to wash the feet of a Vaishnava. In other words, we should really keep a distance from non-devotees and search out only the association of Vaishnavas. What about preaching? Yes, for preaching we have to try to convert non-devotees to devotees, but do that as service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not because you're looking for some materialistic company. Then, never consider the remnants of Lord Hari's food, which are pure and which relieve one of sinful reaction, to be contaminated. Never live with people who are very attached to their bodies. Even if hypocrites who are fond of material enjoyment put on the marks and symbol of Vaishnava, one should still not live with them. Next, if you are chastised by a Vaishnava, just sit silently and do not think that there has been any harm. And lastly, knowing very well about the worship of Vaishnavas and about the procedures of worshipping the Supreme Lord, and knowing very well that offending Vaishnavas is more serious than disregarding Lord Vishnu, and knowing that the water that has washed the lotus feet of Vaishnavas is more sanctified than the water that has washed the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, you should carefully and sincerely serve the Vaishnavas. I think these are really wonderful teachings that we should all meditate on and try to emulate. They can help analyze how well we're actually following these principles, which are the teachings and desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our own life. Hare Krishna.